or give to WBAI.org.
But do it now, won't you? And do it with a credit card, because it's too late for you to mail in your pledges. And thanks for keeping us alive here at WBAI New York.
The previous program was Neurodiversity Experts Talk with Natalie Tandiway, and that is heard Fridays at 2 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for
clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for April 2nd, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's Ecologic is about the danger of plastics in the oceans and what we can do about it.
Ecologic Collective member Joel Landy is joining us today. Reggie?
Hi, Donna. Hi, everybody. I had the great pleasure of meeting Steve Andrews at an online television show, and as we presented our music, it became very apparent that he's been a very serious environmentalist for quite some time. Steve, you're talking to us all the way from Portugal. Could you tell us who Steve Andrews is and what would you have people know about you?
Well, I'm originally from Wales. I'm from Cardiff in Wales. I went to live in Tenerife in the Canary Islands for 9 years, and then I moved to Portugal, and I've been here for the last six. But basically, I'm a writer, I'm an author, I'm a poet, I'm a singer-songwriter, and probably most important for what we're going to be talking about, I think, tonight, is that I'm a naturalist. I discovered the world of nature when I was a little boy, when I was about 4 or 5, and it stayed with me all these years, and my connection with nature is probably the most important thing in my life. And It's something like you can take me anywhere in the world and I can find whatever is there in the natural world. And for me, it's fascinating. It's just amazing. It's and because I've been so in love, passionate about nature, you know, for all my life, I've also seen the bad side. I've seen, you know, what is happening to it, and it's worried me. So the action that I thought I could take is because I'm a singer-songwriter, I thought, well, okay, the one thing I can do is I can write songs about the problems which, you know, which the world of nature is experiencing right now and which we as people are experiencing because we're part of nature and it's all connected together anyway. So
one of the things that you've been working on, Steve, is alerting people to the danger that plastics pose to the environment and especially to the oceans. What should we know about plastic? Why is it such a danger?
Probably one of the worst things about plastic is that plastic was made to last. That was its miracle property. You know, it's something which doesn't go away. And that is the exact problem. It doesn't go away. And so when we throw it away, you know, it's gone out of our sight maybe, but it's still here somewhere. And it can be here for 500 years, maybe longer, you know. And like plastic is being discovered on a fairly regular basis that dates back from, you know, the 1950s or whenever. And the date is still on it. So, you know, and it hasn't sort of decomposed very much. And that is the problem. It doesn't sort of decompose. All it does is it breaks into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. And we're calling these microplastics. And they are micro. You know, this is what we're dealing with. So all of the plastic, well, nearly all of it, I mean, the plastic that's been burnt, that's a different matter. But that's bad as well. That just creates poisonous smoke, as I say in my song. But the plastic which isn't burnt, the plastic that's been discarded into the environment, is still here somewhere. It might be here in as tiny particles. It might be so small that it's now, it looks like sand grains and it's in the sand. It can be floating about in the water. It's inside lots of living things now. If you're a creature which lives in the sea and you swallow some water, the chances are you've just swallowed a whole load of plastic particles. And it's in everything. And, like, you know, it's being found in our food and drink. And creatures that we may eat, like fish. Fish are eating plastic all the time. And the bigger creatures which are eating them are eating even more plastic. And there's so many creatures which live in the sea are mistaking plastic items that they see for their natural food. And they're eating it. And, of course, they're not eating what they think they're eating. They're eating plastic. For example, turtles are supposed to eat jellyfish, and they can see something like a bluish plastic floating bottle or bag or something, and they think, oh, that's a jellyfish, great, and they go to eat it. And of course, they're eating plastic. And whales are swallowing fantastic amount of plastic. There are whales which are beaching themselves and dying, and in the autopsies to find out what killed the whale, they're discovering all this mounds of plastic in their guts. They're discovering nets and fishing line and golf balls and plastic bags and sheets of plastic. And basically, you name it, if it's some kind of rubbish plastic, it's ending up inside a whale's stomach, and it's ending up inside turtles, and it's ending up inside, well, so basically all of the creatures which live in the sea, which have to eat something or other, are eating plastic. The plankton in the sea is swallowing plastic. The plankton, if you like, is the smallest form of life that you're going to find in the ocean. And the plankton is now is eating plastic as well. It's eating the microplastic. So wherever you go in what we call a food chain, you've got plastic in it now. And, of course, this goes right up to us. So we're eating plastic.
I saw the fake ones at the store. People must want them, people must buy them. I don't want to see any more. When's all the plastic go into the sea, into the sea?
sea? How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? It's not hunting that'll kill the last whale. Plastic will do it, it's a very sad tale. And all the albatrosses are dying out too. They keep on fishing in the oceans. Plastic stew. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Plastic bag I bought, it very quickly broke. If it ever gets burned, there'll be poisonous smoke. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Plastic kills the turtles and it's eaten by the fish. Plastic's in the food chain and the dinner on your dish. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Was it you or was it me? Was it you or was it me?
Steve, how do we keep from being overwhelmed by the hugeness of problems like plastic everywhere? And what action should we be taking?
Well, that's a very good question. How do we keep from being overwhelmed by it? In our personal lives, we can all try our best to make sure we're not getting plastic into our diet as much as possible. We can be trying to see what we can personally do to not add to the problem in the world, and which is, I think, most important. I think the more people worldwide that can step up to doing their part in taking some action to try and reduce the amounts of plastic going into the environment and to get the plastic out of their lives, basically that there are things we can all do. We can reduce the amount of plastic we can use. We can reduce the amount of plastic we buy. We can refuse plastic. For example, if we go into a store and they offer us a plastic bag, we can say, no, thank you. We don't want the plastic bag. We brought our own bag. You can bring your own shopping bag. So we can refuse the plastic. We can recycle the plastic as much as we can. And we can rethink the plastic. We can think like, you know, what are we using plastic for? Is there something else we could use instead of plastic? Or something that we might have that we might wanted to throw out, like, for example, a yogurt pot or something like that. Instead of throwing it out, we think, well, we can reuse this. We can rethink what we're going to do with it. We can put some compost in there and plant something in there. So it makes like a plant pot out of it. So, you know, the more things we can do with the unwanted plastic, the better. And the less plastic which we're taking into our lives on a daily basis, the better. And the more of us that are doing this, then the less plastic is going out there into the environment. And most of it is unfortunately going in the oceans. And there are like tons and tons of it going.
I must say that that on a personal level, all of that is so important. But it really has to be addressed more on a systemic level, right to the manufacturers changing their way of producing plastic. And they have some new corn plastics and plastics made out of things that do decompose. Maybe that's the solution. But there has to be solutions on a larger scale than people's personal responsibility, because that doesn't always make me feel that it's going to work if I have to rely on my fellow humans.
Ken, what do you have to add to all of this?
A couple of things. Something that a friend of mine pointed out to me years ago. You go to a Chinese restaurant, for example, and you get a lot of food, more than you eat. So you want to take the leftovers home. If you bring your own containers, that means the restaurant doesn't give you one. So that's less plastic that's being used. And they're also really happy that they're saving a little bit of money. And they will remember you next time. So that's a good thing to do when you're in a restaurant. And I wanted to mention one of the aspects of plastics that I think there's so much science about it that people go, oh, I can't talk about that. Biologists were discovering in the 70s that microplastics in water were affecting the endocrine systems of the animals that live there. The endocrine system, we humans have them too. And it's our enzymes, it's our hormones, it's all the things that make our body function. Right? All the a lot of bodily functions are chemicals coming together. And why don't they always happen? Because the endocrine system is controlling it. It's incredibly important to human health. And they were finding that the plastics were imitating and getting into the endocrine system of fish, amphibians, reptiles, and small mammals. And as one of the guests of Ecologics said, we all start out as a small mammal. So she pointed out that because of these endocrine mimics in our system, and so it's that little girls are born with a predisposition to breast cancer. And when they get the breast cancer and they think, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? It's not their fault. It's the plastic in the water. And we've known this since the 70s.
That's a long time.
Tell us more about the organizations that you work with.
I recently organized a concert, which Joel took part in, which I was calling Ocean Aid. And we're raising money for Sea Shepherd. I decided that Sea Shepherd was maybe the most worthy organization to receive funding. But there are lots of organizations doing what they can. There's also Greenpeace, and there are many people and small local organizations doing beach cleanups all around the world now, which is great. But the amount that's in the ocean is so fantastic that, you know, it doesn't really make much difference. But, you know, it's still worth doing. But as I say, personally, I've been involved in trying to help Sea Shepherd. But what I'm really trying to do is, I just use the term like Ocean Aid, is I'm trying to inspire Ocean Aid as a movement worldwide. When I came up with the idea for Ocean Aid, of course, I thought of Live Aid, the big concert, and how you had like internationally famous rock stars and pop stars involved in that, and how, of course, it got a fantastic amount of media coverage. So I thought, well, if we could have Ocean Aid on the same scale, that would be fantastic. But I don't have the kind of clout that can say, okay, I want this massive stadium-sized stage here, and I want all these... But I had to start somewhere. So I thought, well, the one thing I thought was, what can I do? Well, the first thing I can do is write a song. So I wrote my song, Where Does All the Plastic Go?
In terms of doing Ocean Aid, how will you know that you've succeeded at all? I mean, it seems like such a big job, and people can burn out. And burnout is a big reality for a lot of people who are activists, as you probably understand. How do you keep from burning out? Because this is a big job.
Well, Joel, a couple of things there on that. For one, I don't think that... I'm not going to allow myself to burn out, put it that way, because as far as I'm concerned, the problem is just going to continue. And this is only one problem. There are lots of problems. We've got the climate change, the climate crisis. That's another problem, which is part of this problem. But there are so many problems, and we've got the plastic pollution problem. We've got the wildfires and the burning of the forests problem. We've got general pollution problems. We've got other forms of waste, like nuclear waste going into the oceans. And there are so many problems that we can't say, okay, I'm going to take a break now, or you know, those of us, I think, who feel a calling, and I feel a calling, it's like a mission, like something, I've got to do this, you know. So I can't say, I think I'll quit for a while now, because we can't quit. Like, once you get active, you're going to stay active. That's how I see it. And I'm just thinking of, like, you know, Greta Thunberg, who's become, like, world famous. I'm sure you all know of Greta. And she doesn't stop. You know, she felt a calling. She had to do something about the situation that she could understand was happening to the world. So she started taking action. She started holding a protest on her own. And then she started getting people, you know, finding out about her. And she started getting media coverage. And it's just all gone on bigger and bigger. But she doesn't stop. That's the whole point, you know, that every Friday she says we're holding a Friday, you know, climate strike. And she's managed to inspire a fantastic number of people. And that is something that I'm trying to do with this Ocean Aid idea. I'm trying to inspire people all around the world to be taking some action about the oceans.
We've got to save the birds. We've got to save the bees. We've got to save the forests. We've got to save the seas. When I look at all the mess we've made, I think it's time for Ocean Aid. Microplastic pollution is bound to make you think. It's even in the air we breathe and in the water that we drink. The Amazon has burned so much, Australia burned too. Fires are the new normal, so what are we to do? There's an insect Armageddon, sixth extinction is underway. But keep the economy growing, there's more jobs, I hear them say.
And that was It's Time for Ocean Aid by Steve Andrews.
They say time flies when you're having fun, and unfortunately we are out of time. Wasn't that a great show?
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming public hearings and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
The Pacifica Foundation that owns WBAI is facing a new threat, and your vote will be needed. Now is the time, until April 7th, to renew your membership at WBAI. This is very important. If you are not sure you have renewed since last April 7th, please err on the side of caution and do it now.
And of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
Longtime WBAI volunteers might remember Jewel Bachrach, who passed away recently. We honor her with gratitude.
To listen to this show again and any of our past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as a new study on poisons in drinking water,
go to www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up on our mailing list.
There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and put eco-logic in the search box in the upper right corner.
and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next to, or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. It's a win-win.
And a big thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday, April 9th at 2:30 p.m.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. U.S. Capitol Police said two officers were injured when a vehicle rammed into them near the U.S. Capitol this afternoon. Police said a suspect is dead. At least one officer is in serious condition. The driver reportedly jumped out of the vehicle with a knife and was shot, police said. The crash happened at a northwest checkpoint near the Capitol. All Capitol buildings were locked down and staff members were not permitted to enter or exit the buildings. Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Richard Zimmerman testified today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with murdering George Floyd, that Chauvin's use of force in that situation was, quote, totally unnecessary. Pulling him down to the ground face down and putting the knee on the neck for that amount of time is just uncalled for, Zimmerman said. Bystander video of Floyd's arrest in May 2020 showed Chauvin, who is white, kneeling on Floyd's neck as Floyd, who is black, repeatedly stated that he couldn't breathe. Minutes later, Floyd ceased breathing. His death sparked a worldwide reckoning on racial justice. Corporate leaders around the country continue to speak out about Georgia's restrictive new voting laws that will make it harder to cast a ballot, especially for voters of color. The so-called Election Integrity Act includes ID requirements for mail-in ballots, time limits on absentee ballot requests, and restrictions on drop boxes. Shortly after a group of black business executives called on corporate America to do more in pushing back against restrictive voting bills, the CEOs of Georgia-based Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola called the new law unacceptable. Texas cleared the way for new sweeping restrictions to that state's voting. The Republican-led Texas Senate signed off on Senate Bill 7. Republican lawmakers championed the bill as a measure that would make Texas elections more secure, while voting rights advocates argue the state is trying to make voting harder, particularly for communities of color, disabled voters, and older voters. Major corporations based in Texas, including Dell Technologies and American Airlines, are speaking out against the legislation. Texas already has some of the most restrictive voting laws in the country. And a Texas County Sheriff's Department announced the firing of 7 officers in connection with last month's in-custody death of Marvin Scott III. The 26-year-old black man was taken into custody on a misdemeanor marijuana charge. He died hours later after officers pepper-sprayed him and placed a spit hood over his head during what his family described as a mental health crisis. An investigation found the officers had violated policies and procedures. An independent autopsy found Scott's death was likely caused by restraint and asphyxiation. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that he has signed into law legislation that will limit how long an inmate can be held in solitary confinement. Under the new law, prisons and jails will not be allowed to hold inmates in solitary confinement for more than 15 consecutive days. Solitary confinement will be banned entirely for several categories of prisoners, including minors, people over 55, pregnant inmates and those with disabilities. The legislation will take effect in 1 year. Multiple studies suggest a link between long-term isolation and an increased risk of mental illness, self-harm,